Hi everyone, this is Peter and I am the Chief Operating Officer of Your Living Blueprint, yourlivingblueprint.com, and the founder of Empower Your Brilliance. I'm here with Kalyn Castell today, and this is the series of audios that we are doing on timing. This is the first audio we're going to be doing, and it is about how timing is everything. It's an overview of the different types of timing, and the timing of life, the timing of seasons, the timing of the cosmic wheel. And we're very excited to be bringing this series to you, and we hope you'll enjoy it. So say hi, Kalyn Castell.
Hi, Kalyn Castell. It's really fun to do this with you. And one of my favorite subjects, of course, is time, and I've been really interested in time pretty much my whole life. I started watching Star Trek when I was a kid back in the 60s and loved any of the subjects or movies or anything that came out that had anything to do with like time travel and different experiences of time. So it's not surprising that the work that I do is helping people to connect with what time it is for them. And how to maximize the use of the timings that happen in our life. There are certain times that, based on your age, will determine certain initiation cycles. We like to refer to them as cycles of initiation. There's an intention behind these cycles to help our soul grow and to help us with whatever it is that we're trying to manifest and create in this reality, in this life that we're living. And then there's other cycles that can happen at any age. They're more personal cycles that can happen. And sometimes you'll have both kinds of cycles happening at the same time. And very interesting to put these all together and to look at it. But first, what I thought I'd like to do is give you a sense of some different perspectives on time, because we have a very specific perspective that we look at in this reality, and that is what I call chronological time, or clock time and calendar time. And this is not the way that people have always done time. In ancient cultures, the way that they looked at time was more cyclical. And the way that we look at time in our current age and time is a more linear progression of time from past, present to future. Yet cultures that were more connected to the earth and to the cycles of time, the seasons, the sun rising, the sun overhead at midday, the sun setting, would let them know where they were in the time of the day. They didn't use the clocks so much. And they knew where they were in the seasons based on the experience of the seasons, and also how they could see the sun tracking through the sky, and that would let them know what time it was. If the sun was high in the sky, summertime. If the sun was low in the sky during the day, it would be winter time. So those kinds of things they knew and they could connect to as a way of tracking time. And they didn't use clocks and calendars to tell them what time it was. They actually also worked with the moon phases, the phases of the moon, to let them know what time it was in, say, a month. The word month actually comes from the word moon, month, month. They're kind of the same thing. The root word of month, month is moon. Anyway, so this more chronological time actually comes from the word chronos. In Greek mythology, Chronos was the god of time. And when we started to develop ways of tracking time, using sundials and other ways of knowing what time it was during the day and the month and the year, creating ways of knowing what year it was, what time it was, and it actually was a great sort of evolutionary step, in a sense, because people could then get together at a specific time. So people from different areas could say, well, I'll meet you on Wednesday in the month of May on the 10th day of May at, 2 p.m., something like that. And that helped them to be able to regulate the time rather than say, I'll meet you when the sun is directly overhead after the next full moon, which would be where they would have been tracking time before. So this has become something that's been very useful in our society, especially as we become more global, because we can connect with somebody in another country, say in Australia or Japan or Italy or somewhere else on the globe, and figure out, even in the United States, there's several time zones that we work with. We have Eastern time to Pacific time, Central Mountain time, and we also have the time zones for Hawaii and the Guam and different places. So they all all these different time zones, and so it can help us to be able to connect at a certain time together, get on the phone together, or you know, to do a meeting or to have a teleclass or a conference call or something, so that everybody's there at the same time. So that is the gift that chronological time or sequential time has for us, but it has also, because we've become so focused on clock time and calendar time, that we've lost our connection to a more magical relationship to time. And this is what the Greeks called Kairos time.
And that's Kairos with a K, right? K-A-I-R-O-S?
Yes, Kairos with a K. And Kairos meaning earth, connection to the earth, and the time of the earth, the cycles and seasons of the earth. So it has to do with cyclical time that is seasonal. And these seasons, these cycles, repeat themselves. So the sun rising is a cycle. Every day it's going to rise. And every night it's going to set. And then there's times where it rises really far south on the horizon. That's winter time and winter solstice, when it gets to its furthest southern point. And there's time where it rises really far north. And that would be the summer solstice. And then when it's right at due east or due west, those are the equinoxes. And those repeat themselves in a very cyclical fashion, one right after the other, continuing. And then every year we have another one of those seasons that comes back around. Same with the moon. We go from new moon to new moon or full moon to full moon. And there's a certain number of days, intervals in between those cycles. And so we could say there's cycles of the moon, there's cycles of the sun, and there's cycles of all the other planets as well. And we have lost our connection to these cycles. We don't really pay attention to them so much. We usually look at our calendar to tell us what time it is.
Right.
It might be a Monday or a Sunday, or it might, you know, the weekend for some people, that's the time they aren't having to go to work, unless you're self-employed, and then that might be a different story, but, you know.
And sometimes the alarm goes off on the weekend anyway, because we've always set it that way, so.
Right, and so then our clocks tell us when to get up, and then they also kind of tell us when to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've become more dependent on this other way of tracking time, this more linear way of tracking time. So the thing that's really great about getting connected into cyclical time, or what I like to refer to as a more magical experience of time, and remembering what these cycles are and how they help to inform us and how they help to let us know what time it is for us. So, for example, we could say winter time is not a great time to plant a garden. But also, you don't want to miss planting your garden in spring. And this is true for not just gardens, but for activities of our life. There are certain times in our life that are more useful to take certain kinds of action, particularly in business or maybe in terms of creating family or...
Kind of like doing things in the daytime, because you can see what you're doing outside and the sun is out to light your way, versus at night when things might be dim and dark, and it's better to be inside taking care of business there, or inward, so to speak. It's just like, you know, the daily cycles, the natural rhythms of life.
Right, and the daily cycles give us some clues, but there's also cycles that happen. So, for example, when a child reaches a certain age, they go through puberty. And then they reach adulthood, and then, you know, there's a time for starting a family, and, you know, there's certain steps that if you take, and if you're kind of following the process of the development of the soul, of the person, of the physical body, you know, there are certain times for a woman from age, say, you know, of course it's happening earlier now for girls, usually around 11 or 12, where they go through getting their first menstrual cycle. Okay, so women with their menstrual cycles, there's a certain cycle that happens, and it it's usually around that time when they start their menstrual cycle, and then about 30 years later, there's a time when those cycles are beginning to end. So there is a time period where it is optimal for a woman to be having children, if that's what she's going to choose to do. Mm-hmm. So knowing those timings can be very helpful. And it's the same thing in a business, if you're doing a business, if you have a healing practice. And the other thing that can be really helpful is if you are working as a healer, say you're an acupuncturist or a massage therapist, or you do energy work on people, if you know what time it is for them, you can support them in incredible ways that maybe you hadn't even thought about. That there are certain timings that that person is going through, and they maybe need support in a different way than they would at another time.
I do a lot of business coaching with people who have a coaching practice or entrepreneurs and, you know, small businesses that are just getting off the ground. And knowing the timing of when to do what and the sequence of how to put it together based on the energetic opportunities for them has proven priceless for their personal development and thus the development of their business as well as their product line or their staff, their employees, their team. It's just a tremendous tool to be aware of these particular timings and to be able to weave them together for success and for taking advantage of opportunities.
Right, so in the example of, you know, not planting your garden in winter, there may be certain times where you have cycles that are happening that are calling you to a very deep inner time and healing your own inner personal way of being, your experiences, whatever wounding you may have. And so the more you try to make things happen in the external world, it's like trying to force a garden to grow in the winter time.
It's kind of like a company that would take a product to market before it was fully tested or ready, and it could flop because they haven't covered all the bases or realized how the consumers were going to use it. If they haven't done their development and their testing and their qualification of that product.
Market research,
you know, all of those things, you know, that's more of an inward process where you may not be making money, but you'd be investing in the future to do things well and to build a base for something so that when you put it out into the marketplace or when you launch your program, you're ready. And the market's ready, and things meld together well. You've done your work versus trying to do things too fast or at the wrong time.
So it's similar if we think about the idea of building a house. What does it take to build a house? And
you wouldn't put the roof on before the foundation and the walls were up.
Well, the foundation is really, really, really important. But you also need to have a plan before you start even laying the foundation. You need to know how big is the house going to be? What materials is it going to be built out of? What rooms are going where? And what's it going to look like? And so all of these things to be put into place before you even begin to build the house.
Yes.
And then it takes time. You need to still lay the foundation and put in the frame and put in the walls. And then once you get it all together, you're choosing colors and you're choosing, you know, the different...
And putting your carpeting and furniture in and all those finishing touches.
Right. But once that house is built, then it supports you to do what you need to do, to have a place to sleep and to get rested, renewed, and regenerated. There's a place to cook and prepare food that will help nourish you and sustain your life. There's a place for you, perhaps if you have a home business, a home office, you can do your work in that place, and that's all set up, and you just go, and you have your computers and whatever you need to run that business, phones and everything all ready to go. And so it's that structure supports what you're doing. It supports your family or whoever else is there living with you. And so there's certain cycles, there's certain timings when it's really about getting that structure in place and getting that foundation in place so that it does support you. And then there's cycles where it's like the opportunity is to look at the cycles that are, or the structures that are in place and say, is this still working for me? Do I need to make some adjustments here? Am I ready to grow and expand? Or am I ready to do something completely different? Or, you know, sometimes I'll use the example of this might be the time when somebody might decide to remodel their house.
Right.
Or they decide that the house is too small And they've got more, they've got maybe the family's growing and they need more space, or they've decided they want a retreat center, or, you know, whatever it might be. There's many different ways that reasons that people might want to grow and expand. Mm-hmm. But there are also maybe sometimes people want to downsize and have a smaller space to take care of because they don't have as many needs as they did before. So there are certain cycles when those things come up and you're looking at whether that is what you're going to do and how you're going to create the structure that's going to support you going forward.
And this goes personally and for business. We've been using the family metaphor of a home for a family and children as they grow, and, you know, going from the baby's room to the adolescent room to the teenage room. You know, that's all timing based on the seasons, the cycles of life. And your business is that same way. As things start, as you grow, as you expand, as you consider new markets, an expansion or development or a repurposing, retraining, a redeployment of your resources. It's all the same thing, and being tapped in and tuned into these things. And I can tell you, I've only been aware of this for the last 8 years, and I'm about to turn 53, just for purposes so you understand where I'm at right now. And I know now that looking back at those different times of my life, that even though I wasn't aware of some of these timings and some of these cycles, there were magical things happening, and I was able to take advantage of some and sometimes just be at the effect of others, but not making the evidence fit the crime, this timing stuff really works.
So coming back to this idea of this Kairos time or sacred time, this connection to cyclical time, there were cultures on our planet that they lived their lives according to the cycles and seasons. And so they would have their special celebrations. They would know when to plant, when to harvest, you know, when to nurture the crops, when to harvest the crops, and when to prepare for winter, and when to prepare when it was spring to prepare for the planting. And so because they were very much connected to the earth and the different seasons and cycles, they just knew what time it was from a collective sense based on what was happening and their ability to be keeping track of time through these cycles. So I just want to share with you the definition that the Greeks had for the word Kairos, and their connection to this. And basically they said that that Kairos time is the most opportune or supreme sacred moment when eternity or time out of time occurs for an undetermined duration, when something magical or unique and special happens. And so there are certain timings in our life where we're really meant to be in that place of time out of time, so that we can get connected to something really magical that will help us in fulfilling our life purpose, what our intent is, why we're here, to be more successful in business, to be more successful in our personal relationships, to be more successful in feeling that sense of fulfillment in our own life. So something also that's also really interesting to contemplate is that there are 86,400 seconds in every day. 86,400 seconds. That's a lot of seconds. So every single day when we wake up, we're being given 86,400 new seconds. And how are we going to spend that time? So we could look at it as like, you know, we have a bank account and every day we're given $86,400. But at the end of the day, those dollars all disappear. And then at the beginning of the next day, we're going to be given that again, if we were going to equate seconds with dollars. And basically, how are you spending that time or those dollars in those moments? There is a passage in the Bible from Ecclesiastes.
It's also a great birds tune, Bob Dylan tune.
That says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And that's been shortened to also be timing is everything.
Yes.
So this comes from a long tradition that there, you know, this idea that being connected to what time it is for you, what time it is in life, is something that goes way back. It probably goes way back before biblical times as well, but that, you know, that's one of our first earliest written records of that.
Before digital clocks and iPads and smartphones.
And a man named Dennis Waitley wrote a book called Timing is Everything, Turning Your Seasons of Success into Maximum Opportunities is the subtitle. And in that book, he says that day by day, we write our own destiny inexorably, like the rings on a tree. We become what we do. So how we spend our time is what we become. And being conscious of how we're spending our time and also being conscious of what time it is for us so that the choices we're making are in greater alignment with that timing is helping us to create what we are doing and who we are and how we're growing and evolving and bringing our gifts to the world in their proper time, in their right timing. He also said that there's a sequence of success for each project and for each area of your life. These sequences frequently overlap from one area to the next, which is a beautiful way of saying that sometimes we're, you know, it's like we can be in certain cycles and there can be other cycles that are overlapping, and understanding how to work with these cycles and navigate them, because some might be about, yes, it's time to get something in the world and to get that structure in place and to get this new thing going. And then there might be another cycle going on at the same time that says, well, but it's also about your inner work and really getting in touch with what's true for you. And, maybe having some confusion and not really clear and sure about what it is the next thing is. And then at the same time, there's this pressure to produce, to perform, to get something out there. What do you do with that? So a lot of the work of your Living Blueprint is helping people to understand those timings and how they can work with them in a way that is going to be most beneficial and supportive to them. And they may still be in times of confusion. There still will be challenging times, but if you know what they are, what the intent of that time is, then you can work with that.
It's more co-creative. We're not saying that we're at the effect of this clock that keeps turning. It's more that being aware of it allows you to surf the wave, ride the energy, co-create, and really use it to your maximum benefit and become more aware.
Indeed. So you could say, you know, if we're looking at the idea of planting a garden, there's a certain time to prepare the ground. And you want to make sure it's prepared before you plant your seeds, because you need nice fertile soil for those seeds to go into. Then there's the timing for planting the seeds and then nurturing them and taking care of them and making sure they have what they need, plenty of sun and water and those ingredients that's going to help those plants to grow. And then to know what time, when it is to harvest, when it is that the time for them is to, you know, they've come to their fruition. The plants are producing the food or the, you know, whatever, the flowers or whatever it is that it is that you've planted for. Again, what has happened is that our reliance on clock time has created a loss of direct knowledge of these timings and the experience of the most basic cycles of the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars as a way to navigate life. And so the rest of this series is really designed to help you understand a little bit more. We're going to go into some more detail in the following audios on certain timings. And we're going to cover things like the personal cycle. Well, we're not going to go into detail on personal cycles. We'll probably talk more about generational cycles. Mm-hmm. Personal cycles can happen at any time in your life. I'll just tell you that. So any age, any time, and it's part of something that is part of great mystery, and no one really knows why those cycles happen when they do. There's also generational cycles that happen at specific ages, and there's very much sort of a divine intention behind that. It's part of a master plan, and we are within the context of that master plan.
The fascinating part for me is just knowing somebody's age or knowing your age can give you tremendous clues and opportunities for the cycles you're in and the opportunities that are there. And using that for yourself, for your employees, for your family members, for your colleagues, just being aware, and whether you share it with them or not, having a compassion and a greater appreciation for what might be going on for them energetically and the open opportunities or potential dilemmas that could be happening there is just a very powerful way to navigate and, again, co-create for you, your family, your business, and just about anything you might touch.
That is brilliantly said. And so knowing those cycles is almost like having keys, a key or a peek into the great mystery, and having it also gives you compassion for yourself as well as for other
exactly.
people. Because if you know what time it is and what the intention is, you can give yourself some room to really be in the process of that cycle and to gain the maximum benefit of the intention mm-hmm. of that particular time. So knowing what those times are. And then the other site, so I mentioned personal cycles and generational cycles. There are also collective cycles. And I just want to speak to this a little bit because this is something that's really helpful for people to understand in terms of the largest context of what's happening on the planet at this time. Collective cycles include things like equinoxes and solstices, something we've already talked about, the new moons and full moons, we've already talked about how the sun is rising and setting, and those are things that are happening every day, and that's part of our collective experience. We're having, regardless of whatever else might be going on in our life, you know, the sun rising and setting or the full moon or, you know, a seasonal point where we're at an equinox or solstice, that's happening regardless of whatever else might be going on. And it's very much collective, and there's an intention behind each of those points. And there's really great ways to work with that as well. But there are also collective cycles that happen from a much larger standpoint. So from the largest standpoint of what is happening on planet Earth at this time, we are in a collective cycle that we call the turning of a 26,000-year age. And so essentially, I'm going to kind of give you the condensed version of what this means. We could do like a whole just teaching on this one piece.
We could talk all day on this one.
But the essence of what happens is that the solstices and equinox points are based on our seasonal experience on planet Earth. So there are certain times each year in our rotation around the sun and our, you know, 365 and a quarter days it takes us to go around the sun where we will experience certain seasons. And those seasonal points, because the Earth actually is tilted slightly, about 23 and a half degrees towards the sun, and it's also wobbling kind of like a top. So as the Earth is spinning and rotating around the sun, it's also wobbling like a top, and it takes 26,000 years for it to do one entire wobble. And when the winter solstice point aligns with a part in the sky where the plane of our solar system intersects the plane of our galaxy, it creates what we call the galactic cross. And when the winter solstice sun rises on the cross, we know that we have completed or in the completion time of a 26,000-year cycle. And that we're also in the beginning, so we're ending and beginning, the two things kind of happen simultaneously, and it lasts for a number of years, this overlapping, you know, the cycles within cycles. So we've been in this ending time at least since 1962. And we'll be in the end and beginning, like also things are ending and new things are beginning in this time until 2030. That's the 72-year window. It takes those equinox and solstice points 72 years to move 1 degree. So it takes about 26,000 years for them to move through the entire backdrop of the stars, all the constellations on the ecliptic or the plane of our solar system. So that's the place where we see the planets moving. They move through certain star patterns. The sun is literally on the cross for 3 days at the solstice. Solstice means standstill of the sun. And so the solstice times were extremely important to certain people, especially the further north you go or the further south you go. There are certain solstice ceremonies and celebrations that would be taking place. And when it's the winter solstice, it is the longest night and the shortest day of the year. And then the light begins to return. So after the winter solstice, the days start to get longer, slowly, slowly, slowly. And then you get to the spring equinox when the days are balanced, light and dark. There's the same number of hours of day as there are the same hours of night that happen at the equinoxes. That's why they're called equinox.
Equal.
Meaning equal balance of day and night. So, but when the sun is at its solstice point, it's at a standstill, meaning it's rising in the sky in the same exact spot for 3 days. And that's the only time it does it, is at either one of the solstice points. And then if the sun happens to be rising on the galactic cross, we have the sun on the cross for 3 days.
So sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, think about that. Some of our mythic stories, the sun on the cross, for 3 days. Interesting. So it may be that ancient people were remembering this, and that the story of the sun on the cross is a much larger cosmological telling of a shifting of a great cycle, of a whole 26,000-year cycle. That's happening now. And as I said, since 1962, it's been within 1 degree. In May of 1998, it was exactly on the cross. This was calculated by an astronomer named Jean Muse, and he calculated that May of 98 was when the sun would be precisely, the disk of the sun would be precisely on that cross, its most precise alignment. But of course, you know, it's many years prior and many years after that it's in that exact alignment. Some use the time frame from 1987 to 2016 for that a 36-year window to say that, you know, the half a degree, that the sun moves that half a degree on that cross as sort of the most concentrated center point of that cycle. So what this means collectively is that everybody is at the effect of the cycle. This is not a personal cycle. This is not a generational cycle. This is a collective cycle that everyone is experiencing. And we're all experiencing it in some way. We know that the way that we have lived life up to this point, the belief systems we've had, the ways of doing things that we've had, the limitations that we believe we have, the perceptions of reality that we've had, that's all undergoing a rapid, massive change as we go through this turning of the age. And it is taking place over a long period of time, many years. And the solstice sun is literally on the cross at the solstices, the summer solstice also, but it's at the opposite point of the sky. Where the one that's happening with the winter solstice on the galactic cross is at near galactic center. When the sun is at zero Capricorn, it's in the place of the sky that is connected to the center of the galaxy. And the Mayans saw this as the rebirth point, you know, that there was a rebirthing that was taking place of a 26,000-year cycle. And this was something that they were very attuned to. At summer solstice, the sun is at the galactic edge. So when we look out from at that point, we're seeing beyond our galaxy. We're looking out past our galaxy. So always, whenever a solstice is on the cross, the opposite solstice is at the opposite point of the cross. So 13,000 years ago, we would have had a mirror image of what's taking place now. So it takes about 13,000 years for it to come back. Anyway, this is the biggest context of what we're experiencing right now. And one of the reasons why everything seems to be more speeded up. Things are happening far more quickly. We're completing with relationships, with ways, patterns, habits, ways of being. All those things are being magnified and maximized so that we can get complete with them and we can clear the slate and begin anew. This is a time of birthing into something brand new that we've never experienced before. It's like an evolutionary leap that is beyond what we can even imagine. It's so great and so cool, and we can really see evidence of it happening on the planet. And when we're in this place, everything that's not in alignment with what's happening for this new energy that's coming in, for this evolutionary leap and this beginning of a new cycle, comes up to get cleared. Hence, a lot of chaos, a lot of challenges, destruction. We've got crazy weather patterns. There's other reasons for that we'll talk about in a minute as well. And
political and economic turmoil, hotspots all over the world, people in the streets, Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on.
So that brings us to another collective cycle that's happening now that's in a smaller window of time. So in 2012, we had two planets that came together, Uranus and Pluto, in a configuration that's called a square, meaning they're meeting in a 90-degree angle to one another. And these two planets, initiatory planets, are about creating evolutionary change, awakening, and getting bringing the shadow to light so it can be transformed, so we can awaken to who we truly are. That is the intent of this cycle. We'll maybe do, there is an audio that you can go and listen to on yourlivingblueprint.com. If you sign up for our newsletter, email list, you can get free access to that. And it talks all about this particular cycle. Just something to mention is that a man named Richard Tarnas wrote a book called Cosmos and Psyche. And in that book, he researched all the times when Uranus and Pluto came together, either conjunct each other, meaning they were together, or in a square, meaning they were at a 90-degree angle to each other, or in opposition, kind of like a full moon effect, and looked at what's happening historically on the planet. And it's an amazing book. I highly recommend it if you're interested. And basically, revolutions are taking place. Dynasties fall. New ones come in. There's a lot of change that happens around that. The French Revolution is an example. The American Revolution, bringing in the Constitution of the United States, was happening around a Uranus-Pluto aspect. And also, this was a combination that was prominent in the Great Depression, more recently, and in the late 60s, when we had all the protests for the Vietnam War, people taking to the streets. And that's been a theme that kind of shows up over and over and over again in the Uranus cycle, a Uranus-Pluto cycle. When those things happen, people take to the streets and they begin to awaken and say no more. You know, we've had enough. This is it. We're going to create something new and different. So it's a revolutionary time. This particular Uranus-Pluto square is very interesting because there are seven exact aspects. Two were in 2012, two were in 2013, two in 2014, and one in 2015. March of 2015 will be the last exact one. But we feel the effect of this cycle for a few years before it actually starts and also for a few years after. So we're in the midst of this collective cycle, and some people are going to be experiencing it personally. They're going to have aspects on their natal blueprint, their natal chart, that are on the front line, so to speak, on the leading edge of what this is about. So they're going to be feeling it very powerfully. Everyone else is going to feel it to some degree because it's part of what's happening in our greater collective world. But some people definitely will have it as the leading edge of what's going on for them. So it's a truly amazing and remarkable time. There's many, many other cycles we could talk about, but this just kind of gives you a sense of what these collective cycles are about and how we can tune into them, understand them. And as we love to say, in this work, we inform the mysteries as much as they inform us. So when we know what's going on, we can be conscious co-participants and co-creators with the intention of these cycles. And that's the power of really knowing the timing and working with the timing and being conscious of it, because it gives us the ability to navigate the cycles of our lives, our collective cycles and personal cycles and generational cycles, in a way that helps us to live our life more magically and to fulfill our purpose, our soul's purpose, and why we're really here. So I believe that's all that I have to say. Is there anything you want to add to that, Peter, before we wrap this up?
Just to repeat, timing is everything.